on a gorgeous, beautiful Sunday morning, man, we find ourselves right here. No better place to be, man. I believe that. And I'm so excited about tonight and Seek, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but I'm excited just to really, really come to this place to just, we acknowledge Jesus, man. We come to a place that it is always and only about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, put himself on a cross for you and I, that he is to be worshiped. He is to be praised. He is to be honored. His name is above every name. And I love it, man. The Lord says at his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So when you come to a place that we cry out his name, and there's purpose in that, there's value in that, that we come to a place to say, Jesus Christ, the very name by which I am saved, man, deserves to be exalted, deserves to be blessed, deserves that you and I will come to a place of worship. Got to remember this, man, praise and worship, it's not about you. It's about acknowledging, and it's about giving thanks, and it's about our posture before our King, that he is the King of all kings, and he came, put himself on a cross, that you and I would have life. And I love to just praise his name. There's so much in a name. I want to read this. Psalm 63 says this. So God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul, here it is. I love David, man. He goes deep. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there's no water. And he just comes to this place to be in a desert land. And he says, my soul thirsts for you. I love this. My flesh longs for you. Man, you find yourself in a desert land, even spiritually or even in your day, even this crazy season that we're still in. For some reason, we're still in this crazy season. And we come to this place to say, God, it is my soul that still longs, that thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. Thus, I've seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because, watch this. Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. And that word, because your loving kindness is better than life. When I put those things together, the life that I live, I know that your love is better than the life that I live. And in that, my lips will praise you. And the word praise here is a shabak praise, which means a loud shout. Some people would say, man, what do you guys do in worship? You've guys got the instruments, and you've guys got the drums and guitars, and there's people yelling. There's even people whistling. Well, that's a shabak praise. That's because we understand that his loving kindness is better than the life that we live. It's better than life. It is life to us who know it. And I love this. And David says, I will give you a shabak, a very loud, triumphant, victorious praise. And we just sang it this morning that Jesus has given us the victory. And here's why we shout. And this is why we sing. And this is why we even whistle at times. And it's just amazing. So I will bless you. Watch this. My lips will praise you. And I will bless you as long as I live. And I will lift up my hands in your name. Sometimes you walk into BC and you'll see a posture of people with their hands raised. If you're comfortable with that, amen. If you're not, amen, it's okay. But I just want you to know, man, when you see it in BC, there's a point to it, that it is the yada type of praise. It is the giving thanks in a posture with our hands raised. Watch what it says. I will lift my hands in your name, and my soul is satisfied. Isn't it amazing? Come to a place in the very beginning of this psalm, he says, I'm in a desert land. My soul thirsts for you, but then through song and through a shabak praise and through a posture that says thank you, he comes to this conclusion and say, no, my soul is satisfied. I thirst no more, but my soul is satisfied in that place of praise. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful, man. I'm so excited. Listen, tonight is Seek. And the word seek, it means to pursue. It means to chase down. It means to go after. And me being a police officer, I used to look forward to the pursuit, right? When someone would want to run, I would love to run next to them, and if necessary, tackle them if they don't listen correctly, properly, right? That's the pursuit. That's the chasing of down. Now that I'm 51, I don't know where that pursuit would go to. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was 25, I loved it, and it was great. My heart still loves the pursuit, but my legs are like, dude, you're not going to catch the 18-year-old. Like, knock it off. Like, I haven't had to run after an 18-year-old in a long time, and I'm grateful for that. But when you understand seek, and you understand pursuit, and you understand chasing after God, because, BC, there's a lot of things. This is just the pregame. I'll preach in a minute. This is the pregame. There's a lot of things that we can chase after, and a lot of things in this world that we pursue. But is there anything more important than pursuing and chasing after God, truly? When the Bible says this, oh, give thanks. That word give thanks is yada. And that is the Hebrew word yada. And it means in a position with our hands raised towards him, extended hands. Oh, give thanks with extended hands to the Lord. Call upon his name. There it is again. There's something so powerful about the name of the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing. Watch this. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. And the word praises here is the word zamar. And it means to sing praises to him with musical instruments. Like we want our voices to praise him. We want our musical instruments to praise him. Man, this is why we've got drums. We've got several guitars. The bass was just kicking today. It was just a boom. The bass was just loud. I know you want me to break dance. You're like, come on, get down and twirl. But we use our keyboard. And just so you know, man, we come to a place with a zamar, with instrument, using our instruments to give glory to him and using our instruments to praise him. Man, we come to a place, watch this, here it is. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders, glory in his holy name. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. The very name that we sing, the very name that we speak is holy. And we honor him and we glorify him and we worship him and we praise him as a holy God. The very name that we speak in Jesus or Yahweh, the very name we speak in the Lord, the very name we speak as God is a holy and reverent, and we treat it as holy and such, and we honor his name and we want to bless his name. We want to worship him as Christ, Lord, Messiah, anointed one, the one who is our Redeemer and our Savior. We come to this place to say you're very name is holy. Watch this. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Let the heart of those, this is where we get our seek from, where we do a first service of every Sunday, to give God the month, to say, God, September belongs to you. This month belongs to you. The good, the bad, and the ugly, I give it to you tonight. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to take place, but I know that you know. And we're in this series, man. This is the last message in this series on his omniscience. I know that he knows. He is all knowledge. And to come to a place to say, God, I want to seek you tonight, and I want to pursue you tonight. I'm going to cry out to you tonight. I'm going to pray before you tonight, and I'm going to give you the month of September, whether you're an adult, whether you're a husband, whether you're a wife, whether you're a young adult, whether you're in college, whether you're in high school, you come to this place to say, God, this month, September, it belongs to you. It belongs to you. And I walk by faith, no matter what it looks like, no matter what turns it would take, no matter in this crazy season, God, this month belongs to you because I know that you know. And I trust you with it. Watch this. So let the heart of those who seek, who pursue, who chase after. Remember, we're going to go after God tonight. We're going to chase after God. We're going to pursue God. We're going to seek the Lord. And watch this. Let your heart be glad. It does something to your spirit, man. It does something to your heart, that your heart is full of gladness when we seek the Lord. Watch this, verse 4. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Pursue the Lord and his strength. God, I can't do this month on my own. God, I can't do the craziness of September. School start. We don't even know what school looks like. School changes every other week. It's crazy. Every other week, things are changing in school. Like, I don't even know what's going on at home and marriages, man. Things are taking place and work is different and everything is changing. You come to this place saying, God, I'm going to seek your face continually. God, I'm going to pursue you continually. God, I'm going to go hard after you. I love this. Seek the Lord in his strength. God, I can't do this in my own strength. That's why we come together and seek him tonight. because we're in this series, I Know He Knows. And I'm so excited to close this today on a day that is a Seek Sunday, that we come to a place, man, if you have not been to Seek, I'm encouraging you tonight as we close this series out on His omniscience, His all knowledge. He knows all things. When you know God, you know this month. You know everything that'll take place already this month. And tonight I give it to you in faith. Now what happens when we come to a place to close it tonight and say, God, I know that you know. Come on, it's going to be a powerful night. But this is just totally in line to where we're headed this morning in our message. And man, if you would just bow your heads and you would just come to a place to say, God, speak to me today. God, in this moment, speak to me. We've worshiped you. We've honored you. Man, we've cried out to you. We've praised you. But God, I want to hear from you, from your word. God, please speak to me today. Come on, Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for an opportunity just to cry out to you in this moment, God, that you would speak to us. God, we're not here to play games. We're not here to play church. God, we want you to move in us in such a powerful way. Father, that there will be surrender this morning. God, there will be just life to our spirits. God, you would breathe life to us today. We come to a place to open our eyes. God, Father, I'm asking that in your presence in this place, that there will be zero hindrance to every person that's here and every person online. God, that there would be anything that needs to be removed from their spirit, their eyes, that they would see so clearly today, right now, in this moment, we would see clearly what we need to see. Father, we would hear what we need to hear, and God, our heart will respond to you. Man, if you're in this house or you're watching online, please, just in this moment, you would just say, Lord, speak to my heart, and I'll respond. I'll respond. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen? Amen. I'm so excited for today. I'm pumped to preach and just continuing as we close out. We've been on His omniscience for about 4 weeks. This is our fourth week. Just really buying into the biblical truth that God knows everything. There's nothing that He doesn't know, past, present, and future. There's nothing that He doesn't know about you and your little sliver of a life. There's nothing that He doesn't know about me as my little sliver of my life and the billions and the billions and the billions and the billions of people, past, present, and future. The billions of people, He knows intricately every single thing about them. There could be 10 million people, billions of people praying all at once, and God hears every single word, and He knew every single word before we ever began to pray. Why? Because there's nothing that He doesn't know. He knows all things. Sean, do you mean He knows? Yes. What about yes? Does He know? Yes. Just keep saying yes to that question. And you come to a place. Watch us now. Even in our sin, God knows. See, how is it that we come to this place? I think we see it in Genesis. And if you would, I'm going to turn to Isaiah 46 in a minute, but I want you to turn to Genesis 3 because I want to see this. We didn't go to Genesis 3 turning there in the first service, but I want you to see it because I want you to see something that takes place. And I think we can get a very real picture of what happened for the very first people, Adam and Eve on the planet, right? The very first people that God created. And He put them in absolute perfection. Right? He put them in the garden, absolute perfection. All He said is, hey, this tree, stay away. That simple. You can have everything and you've got everything and it's blessed and it's in its perfect form. But this, don't touch. Well, of course, it's like the kid where you say, hey, the stove is hot. What do? Yeah, bang, ouch. Where they go and they sin against God. And then they do something. They do something that I think it's what we do. They sin against God, and then they did what? They went and hid. And they went and they found a place where they were in hiding. And then God shows up and said, hey, where are you? I love this. You come to a place to see this. Verse 8 says this. Genesis 3, verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man said to his, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to the man, and he said, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the gardens, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I condemned you not to eat, that I've commanded you not to eat? Of course, God knew that. Listen, please hear this. God knows all things. He never asks a question that he doesn't know the answer. There's always a point to his questions. Verse 12 says this, the man said, the woman you gave me. I love it. He blamed her. Don't do that. I'm just giving you some encouragement this morning. Men, don't blame her. The man said, the woman you gave me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. And then the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Isn't it amazing that he comes to Adam and Adam said, her. And then he blames God, you, her, and you. It was her, but you gave me this one. And then he turns to the woman and says, what about you? The serpent, he did it. You learn two things here. When you come to a place to teach on the omniscience of God, you come to a place to realize that he knows our sin. He knows your sin before you committed your sin. He knows it. But isn't it, watch this, isn't it just like our nature to try to hide from God? Isn't it our nature to try to be so busy that we don't even address it with God? Isn't it our nature that we think we can actually play hide and seek with God when we forget the idea? Watch this, the big picture here that I see, that God created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve blew it. It's accounted to Adam because he didn't oversee spiritually his wife. And he comes to a place where in the midst of their understanding, we blew it. They go and try to hide from the presence of God. And God shows up and said, hey, where are you? You know what I see here? You know what I see here? I see where man screws up and man blows it. But what happens? What happens? What happens? His God still pursues man. At any moment, God, who knows all things that was to follow the absolute fall of man, he could have just ended it right there. Says, I know what's ahead. This is going to be an absolute disaster. Sin has now entered the world, and there's going to be wickedness. There's going to be hatred. There's going to be evil upon evil. I'm done. But no, watch this. There's an amazing lesson here. But you see, I want you to get this, because when you understand the omniscience of God and you understand what it means to say, I know that he knows, even in my sin. And let me talk to the church. Let me talk to the believer, the disciple, the one who has come to a place to confess that he is Lord, the one who has come to that place to surrender to him. That it's on you and me that, listen, when you look at Adam and Eve, they were the first creation. And they walked with God and they talked with God and they had this amazing, beautiful relationship with God where God will walk with them in the garden. There is this amazing relationship that was formed. When you come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, there is this amazing relationship that is formed. And yet when we sin, why do we try to hide from God? When I see this amazing, beautiful, beautiful picture of a God who says, Sean, I love you. Even when you sin, I still pursue you. Even when you sin, I have still sought you out. Why? That you may know my grace and you know my mercy and you may know my compassion. Why are you hiding? And you come to a place where, and then I think we do the second foul here that Adam and Eve did. What do? They go into the blame game. And mind you, they're talking to God directly. Well, God, this is what happened. And God, this is why I did this. And God, you got to understand, you know all things. So because you know why I did this, and this is, and even, watch this, even talking to God, we make excuse for our sin. And I think we all do it. I think we all come to this place to say, God, I know that you know. And even in the midst of our sin, we try to hide from God. And even when God addresses us and he pursues us and it's conviction, there are times that we try to even make excuses for it. But what happens? What happens when you see the very heart of God in this amazing beginning story, or even in the beginning of sin, God did the most beautiful, amazing, powerful, powerful thing where he pursued Adam and Eve and he went after them, knowing full well their sin. Now I want you to turn to Isaiah 46, please. But I want to look at a verse first, because you're going to see in Jeremiah 16, 17. If you could put that verse up, please, from Jeremiah. I want you to see this, because this just, again, speaks volumes to where God is. This is what the Lord says. For my eyes are on all their ways. Come on, look at this. Check this out. For my eyes, I don't want you to miss this. My eyes are on all their ways. Everybody say all. Okay, one more time. All. Right? For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. So what happens if we just clear the page today, man, and understand this verse is real, Jeremiah 16, 17, for my eyes are on all their ways. Sean, my eyes are on all your ways. Everything you think, everything you say, everything you do. Sean, nothing is hidden from me. Nothing. You know what? Last night, not hidden. You know, yesterday, not. Last year, not hidden. You come to this place tomorrow, the sins of tomorrow, not hidden. The sins of next week, not hidden. What happens when you realize God saying, for, I love that, my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor, watch it, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. What happens when we can buy into the beautiful truth that God knows every sin that you and I have ever committed, and yet he still pursues you. He still comes after you. His Spirit still convicts us. When you come to a place to just deal with our sin and say, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned. God, I've done it my way. I've done it my way, and I haven't done it your way. I've seen it in Scripture, and I still yet did it my way, and I've walked in this sin, and I'm asking you, God, to forgive me of my sin. But yet we want to play games with it, and we want to hide from God, and we want to discredit it, or we want to twist Scripture. We want to come into a place to do whatever we want to do with Scripture and not walking in the holiness of the Word of God just to excuse our... Listen, isn't it amazing that we work so hard to just excuse our sin, to make an excuse? We work double time to make an excuse for our sin when it would just be so simple to say, Lord, I have sinned. And I need your forgiveness. I'm not going to work so hard to twist Scripture and make things up in Scripture and say what it doesn't say just so I can get out of it when I can't do God disservice to know that God knows all things. And we work so hard to get out of sin when you can just come to a place and say, Lord, I've sinned. Forgive me. And watch this. Where sin abounds, his grace abounds much more. That is such a beautiful, beautiful piece of Scripture. Where sin is great, his grace is greater. When sin is great, his grace is greater. But man, please hear this. That's not a license to sin. Because we've got to know when we come to this place and say, God, I know that you know. I know that you know. You're omniscient. You know all things. Then why do I play games with sin? Why do I play games of hide and seek? Why do I make up excuses when I know that you know, your eyes see it all? I can't hide anything from you. So why don't I just come to the place to accept it today, to know that you're pursuing me, to know that you're chasing after me, and you still love me with a love that can never change. Isn't it amazing that when you know the love of God is an unconditional, undeniable love that can never fail, you get to come to him on those terms to say, God, even in my sin, it hasn't changed your love for me. And when you come to that place, you can come to a place to understand Jeremiah 16, 17. He says, listen, I've seen your sin. I've seen your ways. Nothing is hidden from me. And you see it in the garden where he just pursues. He pursues. Come on, I want you to see this in Isaiah 46, please. It's amazing because there's a release in this. I want you to get this because there's a release in this, and there's truly a release in his forgiveness. There's a release in his grace. There's a release when we call sin sin. There's a release, and there's a freedom to know, God, you see it, and yet you love me, and you pursue me, and there's this. That's what I want for today. This isn't like this damning message on sin. I don't know your sin. You don't know my sin. We come to this place to say, God, I know that we sin, and I've come to this place, whether it be my thoughts, whether it be my words, whether it be my actions, and I come to this place to just clear it with you. And there's such a release in that. There's such a freedom in that to know I can't play hide and seek with God. Would our lives be different? Would our actions be different if we knew that God was looking over our shoulder all the time, 24/7? Would we do things differently if we actually were reminded of his omniscience? Would we act differently? Would we talk differently? If you knew, listen, as a policeman, sometimes you get recruits and the recruits drive around with you and the recruit knows that you're taking notes on everything they're doing. And they act in a certain way because you're taking notes on everything they do. What happens if we were God's recruit for a lifetime and he's taking notes on everything that we do? Would it change? Watch it. Would it change how we do? This is one of those, honestly, this is one of those change direction moments here. Please hear this. This is one of those change direction moments in the service that if you get this, if you understand the true omniscience of God, and we just don't say omniscience, yeah, he knows everything. But if you really understood, watch this, as a Christian, now as a believer, God's taking notes. But watch this, not in a way to judge us and not in a way to hammer us. In a way of reward when we get to heaven. And you and I would come to a place, say, God, if I am reminded again today that you truly know everything, that I know that, I know that you know, and I know that everything that I do, you're in a good way, not in a bad way, that you're overlooking my shoulder and you're seeing everything I do, because whether I eat or drink or whatever I do, I want to do all for your glory. I want you to see that. Because it's for your glory. Watch, come on. Isaiah 46, I love this. Here it is. Come on, are you ready? Four of you, perfect, amen. Have a good day, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you. See you tonight, amen. Amen, here we go. Come on, I love it. Seek starts at 6, good night. Come on, watch this, Isaiah 46, verse 8. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Watch this, here it is. Verse 9, remember the former things long past. I love this. Remember the former things long past. For I am God. We sang this morning. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. I love it when God reminds his people, listen, I am in competition with nobody. I have no competition. Nobody is like me. I stand alone. There's nobody even close to me. There is one truly very powerful angel named Lucifer, who was one of his archangels, one of the top created beings. And all of a sudden he came against God and God kicked him out of heaven like a bug. Like it was just like, okay, really? That was the closest thing God had to competition. And he just was like, yeah, right, bye. And when you understand his statement here, and you understand, man, we serve a God who has no competition. We serve a God who has no rival. We serve a God who has no equal. There's nobody like him. Why do we worship the way we worship? Why do we come to a place to honor God the way we honor God, the way we cry out his name, the way we take up our posture, the way we get on our knees, the way we get on our face? And I'm hopeful that it's more than just Sunday. I'm hopeful that Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and back on Sunday as the family gets together, that we really enter into a place of worship. Man, I love to be in the living room and on my face with my hands high. I love to not so much in the car when you're driving. Don't raise your hands when you're driving the car. That doesn't go well. But if you're the passenger and you got worship on, you come to this place to just want to praise and worship God because we realize there is no one like him. He stands alone, and yet he is my father. And he's adopted me as a son, as a daughter. Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I love this. And I am God and there is no one like me. Here it is, verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. What happens when God speaks of his greatness? He speaks of his authority. He speaks that there's no one like him, that he's not in competition with anyone. And then he goes in to declare his omniscience where he says, listen, I know the end from the beginning. I know your very end from your very beginning. And doesn't that sound backwards, right? Because we can say, well, the beginning to the end, because that would be our right mind. But God says, no, I'm way beyond your beginning to the end. I know the end. I already know. Isn't it amazing when you can come to a place to say, God already knows. He already knows the end from the beginning. And man, I tell you what, that brings such encouragement to me to understand, God, you already know. That's why I come to seek. That's why I give God the month of September. I'm telling you, this is so important to say, God, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight because I know that you already know. I know that you already know the end of this month. You know everything that's going to take place in September. Why? Because, God, you know the end from the beginning because you know it all. And for me personally, man, that does something to my spirit to bring such encouragement to know, God, you already know. You already know how this thing's going to play out. And I love this because when you know God will always do his part. BC, when you know God, you will always do your part. You will always be faithful. You will always be true. You will always do your part. Then guess what? It's on me to do my part. God, what's my part? I'm going to walk by faith. What's my part? My part, I'm going to know that you are already there. I know that you go before me and behind me. God, I know that you already know the end. You already have it. And my part is simply to walk by faith. And my part is to trust in you. God will always, always do his part. Watch this. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from the ancient of times to the things that have not been done. Saying, I love this. Here it is. Saying, my purpose will be established. And man, gang, I know that we are in this crazy season right now. I know that you can watch the news. And I know that you can see chaos in the streets. You can see chaos through COVID. You can just, your mind can go to just craziness, right? I encourage you not to watch too much news. I try to stay off the news because it's always the same and it's just, I don't trust it, to be honest. But I know this, in the midst of this season, please hear me, that I can look this and I can believe the word of God is absolutely true and I can see where the Lord says, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. So what does that do to your spirit when you come to a place to say, God, even in this chaos, even in this unrest, even in the crazy season that we all find ourselves in, what happens when you come to a place to say, God, your purpose will be established. Why? Because you know the end. God, you're already ahead of this thing. You know how this whole thing ends. Watch this. Your purpose will be established. What happens? I love this because it takes it off of me to put my hope and my trust and my faith in the one who knows all things. I bank on that. I trust in that because I know, God, your purpose will be established. And when I know that, it's going to be okay. God, when I know that everything's going to be all right, when I know that you, even in the midst of all of this, you still have a plan and you still have a purpose and there's nothing and there's no one that can get you off your purpose. There's nothing, watch this, there's nothing and there's no one that's going to get God off his game. Right? You ever play a head game with like if you're in football and I was on the defense, I was in the backfield on defense and I love to try to get into the opponent's head. Like we would just be as Christian nasty as you can be. That's the way I put it. I would never swear. I would still love Jesus, but I was Christian nasty in their head, just trying to live there for a little bit for the football game. And then afterwards, give them a high five, right? And you come to this place, if you can get in their head, man, you can change their game, right? If you get in their head, even playing cards, if you can get into someone's head, we'd love to play euchre. We love to play a game called sevens. If you can get in your opponent's head, man, you can live there and you can win. If you ever play golf, like as you know, I'm a golfer now. For whatever reason, I play golf. I play golf because I like to be with people. I don't even keep score, right? I have a competition tomorrow morning at 7:30 and I have to keep score, but we're going to crush them. It's just a whole different level right now, whole different level. And I'm trying to get in your head because you might be in this room. So it's amazing. But isn't it amazing? Watch this. Isn't it amazing that there's no situation and there's nothing in your world and there's nothing today that can get in God's head that can change his game plan because there's nothing that surprises him. And when you watch this, when you understand this And you can come to a place to say, God, your purpose will be established. I want you to say that every morning. God, your purpose will be established. God, your purpose will be established. God, I'm not looking at the news to think, oh, all hell's breaking loose. Everything's ending. God, I'm looking to you to say, God, your purpose will be established. Right? Your purpose will be established. To know, God, you can turn good around. God, you can come to a place to turn this thing into good. Somehow, some way, God, I know that you know. And in all of this, I promise that, God, your purpose will be established because nobody can get in your head. You're never going to change your game plan because of anything that's taken place because you know it all together. What happens when you come to a place to say, God, I know that your purpose will be established and, God, you will accomplish all for your good pleasure. You will accomplish all for your good pleasure. Come on, let me give you a verse on that. I want to read this verse. Romans 8, you know it. Romans 8, 28. And we know that God, watch this, we know that God causes all things to work together. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Watch this. When you understand, God, you've got a plan for me. In all of this crazy, God, you still have a plan for me. And your purpose will be established. And I love this. And we know that God causes all things to work together for all things. To work together for good? You mean this craziness? God, you can somehow, some way, turn this in a place to advance your kingdom somehow, some way you can turn this thing because you know all things into something that's good? You mean people can come to you through this crazy season in their brokenness, they'll turn to you, in the hurt, they'll turn to you. God, there'll be marriages that are repaired in this crazy. You mean something good's about to happen? Because God, you turn this thing around. Watch this. And God, watch, it's God who causes all things to work together for good to those who are called, to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And the word purpose here, it means his advanced plan. You mean, God, you've called me to your advanced plan? God, you know that your purpose will be established. I know that. Here's the huge kick. See, here's the huge kick. Guess what his plan is? Watch this. Guess who he uses to fulfill his plan? Me and you. You mean, God, you're going to, hold on. All of this crazy and everything's going on. I know that you know, and I know that your plan, it absolutely will be established. But in establishing your plan is actually to use us to establish that plan? Hey, God, is there like a plan B? Is there like a different plan? Because, God, if you haven't noticed, we're kind of a mess. And I love this because when you begin to really understand, God, in the midst of this crazy season, you've called us for your purpose. And you've called us to bring hope to the world. Man, church, you got to get this, because when you understand, the reality is this, that he will always, always accomplish and establish his plan and his purpose. And guess who he uses to do that? Me and you. So what happens when we come into a place to say, God, even in my sin, I need to confess and I need to walk in a manner that's worthy of you, and I need to walk in this place to hate sin because, God, you hate sin. But I'm not going to hide from it anymore. God, I'm not going to run away from it anymore. God, I'm going to confess it. I'm going to be real with you, God. I'm going to be real with you, God, because I'm a part of your plan. I'm a part of what it takes to establish your plan. And man, I had an amazing opportunity to speak to the teenagers Wednesday night. It was just an amazing night. Amazing night. Man, we are so blessed by Breakaway. If you have teenagers and they're not in Breakaway, 7th to 12th grade, man, get them involved. Wednesday night was powerful. Now, we had a time at the end where we were praying over the kids, and we just had this amazing time and moment of prayer, and it was powerful, because you come to a place to realize, even in the midst of this crazy season that we're in, the Lord still says, listen, I will fill you with joy and I will fill you with peace. Romans 15, 13. I will fill you with joy and I will fill you. The word fill, it means to be complete. I love it. They've got it up. Thank you so much for that. Now may the God of hope, may the God of hope fill you. That's the word fill. It's a powerhouse word and it means to be complete, which means lacking nothing. But what are we supposed to not lack in? We, you and I, as followers of Christ, we're not to lack in joy. And listen, this isn't the lollipops and gumdrops joy. This is the depth of a supernatural gladness that is within your spirit, even in the midst of chaos. We can, come on, watch this. We can come to a place to say, I know that he knows, therefore it's going to be okay. I know that he knows, and I know that he knows the end from the beginning, and I know that he still has a plan and a purpose, and I know that it will be established. The big idea is he's going to use us to complete his plan. Crazy idea. Crazy idea. God, who am I that you're going to use me to fulfill your plan? Are you kidding me? Me? But it is, watch this, it's the God of hope who will complete you, where you will not lack in joy. You will not lack in peace. Listen, we need peace. We need joy and we need to walk in this place. Not just, watch this, man, watch this, that it's not just for you. Man, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me, this life that I now live. Man, there's a change that takes place and there's the surrender that takes place to say it's no longer my life that I live, but it's a life that I live for his purpose and for his glory. Whether I eat or drink or whatever I do, do all to the glory of God. You come to a place, God, you're going to fill me that I will not lack in gladness. I will not lack in joy. I will not lack in peace. Why? Because I want this to be overflowing to those who are without joy, for those who are without peace. I love this. So that, why? So that you will abound in hope. That you will abound, that you will overflow in hope. Man, come on. Our hope should be contagious right now. Man, this is a season, BC, for you and I to be contagious in our hope. This is not a time to put our head in the sand. This is not a time for you and I to walk in a place to hide, to play hide and seek with God. This is not a time for you and I to walk in a place to be concerned what anybody thinks. This is a time for you and I to be so contagious in our hope. People need hope. And hope is found in Jesus Christ. And people need to see joy and people need to see peace. And we need to overflow in hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, that you and I would walk in a place and say, God, you know the end from the beginning. And I know that you will establish your purpose. But you're going to use me to do that? I'm a mess. I'm a mess. I believe this. I believe that today in this moment, I believe the power of a moment. I believe that. I believe that there is power in just a moment that we come to a place to have our eyes enlightened to see. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I can not lack joy. I'll take some. You mean I don't have to lack peace? I'm in. You mean I can overflow? You mean my hope can be contagious to a lost, hurting, broken world? Yeah, you should overflow and abound in hope. You mean walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit by his power? The word power here is the where we get dynamite. It's dunamis, and it means an explosive force. The explosive force of the Holy Spirit in me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You mean I can still today in the crazy function from all that because I know that he knows. And I know that he knows the end from the beginning. And I know that his purpose, God always has a plan. He never lacks a plan or a purpose. He always has a plan, and his plan is you and I. 2 Chronicles 16:9. I want you to see this, please. It'll be up on the screen, and this is where we close. And this is where we close. I want you to see this. I love this. For the eyes of the Lord watch this, move to and fro. I love that. To know that God just sits above and he sees it all. To know, we've covered that this morning, man. To know that there is the one true living God whom we serve. The one God who is the great creator of the heavens and the earth. The one true God who knows and sees all things. Watch this. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support. I love this. That he may strongly support. I mean, come on, you could look at this and say, does it have to say strongly? Because we're talking about the God of all power and might. We're talking about the one true living God who spoke things into being and they became. What would happen if God just said, Sean, I got your back. Sean, you have my support. Man, that would be like an endorsement, like, woo! But he says, watch this. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Isn't it amazing that today, the God of all power and might, he knows where your heart is. He knows if you are completely his. He knows if you've come to that place of surrender. Watch this. He knows if you're playing a game. He knows if you're just trying to be good enough. He knows those who've truly confessed on his name for salvation. And I love it because this is his desire, man. He will pursue you. He will pursue you. And he will. Sean, but what about my sin? Go back to the beginning, Adam and Eve. Even in their sin, the very first thing God did. Where are you? Hey. I'm here looking for you. You can't hide from God. It's just best to say, God, you see it. You know it all together. You know it. I surrender. You know my sin, God, forgive me. I want a release. Come on, I need some freedom in this, God. I've been running too long from this thing. God, I need that release. God, I need to just admit and I need to confess my sin to you. He is faithful and he is just to forgive you of all your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Guess what? That's to the church in 1 John. That's to you and me. His children, you come to this place to understand that. You come to this place to understand that. Man, you begin to realize this right here. Watch it. Can you put that back up, please? I want you to see it. That the eyes of the Lord, watch this. Love this. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Whose heart is completely his. Can you just bow your heads just for a moment, please? Let me ask you, where's your heart today? Would you come to this place and say, God, it is your desire to use me. It is your desire that I would be the one that you would use, that your plans will be established. And you left it up to us? First of all, if you've come to this place, as a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, and you know, man, I've got unconfessed sin in my life, man. I know that I have sin in my life, and it's time. I've tried to hide it from God. I've tried to make excuses after excuse after excuse. I've tried to blame others for it. Well, right now in this moment, it's just time to simply stop hiding and stop running and stop making excuses. You would just simply come back to a place to say, God, I know that you know. I know that you know. I confess. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for your compassion. And thank you for your mercy. And God, thank you for pursuing me, even in my sin. God, I thank you for pursuing me. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Maybe you're in this place to say, God, I know that your eyes go to and fro throughout the earth to find those whose heart is completely yours, to find those who have completely surrendered to you and your will. And God, that we would have your great support, that he greatly supports. Maybe you're in this place where you know, man, God has used you. You know that right now, even this past week, you know, man, I was a part of his plan for someone's life. I was a part of his plan for someone, for a family. I was part of his plan to feed. This week I was a part of his plan somewhere. What happens for this upcoming week? Man, I was a part of his plan for this person's life. I was part of his plan for this. And you come to this place and begin to know, God, you strongly support me as I am wholly, completely, fully surrendered to you. My heart belongs to you. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. I surrender. And then you have this amazing work of God that he puts his complete support behind you. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. We need you desperately. We need you. Father, we want to overflow with hope. We want to not lack any joy. We want to not lack any peace. We just turn to you, our great creator, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We just turn to you. And Father, we're asking even in this moment, if there's any unconfessed sin, Father, we're not going to hide anymore. We just come to a place and say, Lord, forgive me. I confess. I'm not going to hide anymore. Let there be things be brought to light. We can't hide them in the shadows. That there'll be things be brought to light that God will work on in our lives so that we can continue in his plan and his purpose for our lives. God, you have a plan and you have a purpose. You have a purpose for me. You have a purpose for me. I want my heart to be full and holy following after you. Man, if you're in this place and you're online and you just come to a place and God, I've been half in, I've been half out. God, I've been on the fence. God, I've been playing a game with this relationship with you. God, I thought that I could just continue to live my life and do it my way. And God, today there's just such a move in my spirit today. Come on, please, heads bowed. You come to a place, God, there's such a move in my spirit today that it's time to just be all in. It's just time to be all in. I surrender. Man, as Olivia sings this morning, I would just ask that you would come to a place. If you would just please just stand to your feet right now and you would just come to a place as she sings to just say, God, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm done running. I know that you know. God, forgive me of my sin. And it's time for me to be all in. And in that, God, I have your, watch this, I have your complete and full backing and your full support.